I know that there are several people here who have actually never heard me speak. And first of all, I want to let you know that the Chandler Church is a family church. Amen. And we're a church that is in need of God, and this is why we go to God in prayer. So we spend a lot of our worship time in prayer. Amen. And I know, and you know, that if Satan is going to attack, he's going to attack our children. This is how he gets to the parents, you see. So this is why we spend an extraordinary amount of time bringing the children into our worship service, that we can love and embrace them, and they can have a tie to our church. Amen. So I want to apologize that I'm getting up to speak at 12:15. But I want to say that if you have to take some medicines, feel free to do that, because I have a message for us today. And if you were to go to a musical theater, a play, or to a concert, everything that you just saw was the opening act. And now the message, the main event, is about to happen. Because God has a message for us today. Now, there are some of us here today who have come and they are suffering from debilitating and paralyzing physical ailments. We don't know what the future holds, because we don't know if tomorrow will come, because we have been told by doctors that we are afflicted with a kind of disease that is not guaranteed for tomorrow. So we have to live today as if it's our last day. But you don't need to be sick to live as if this is your last day. You need to have a connection with Jesus every day as if it was your last day. Now, there are some of us here who have come with problems in our families, in our marriages, with our children, and we don't know what to do. But I need to tell you that God already has an answer for you. But because we are so busy in the world, so wrapped up at looking at ourselves and our problems, that we have taken our eyes off of the Savior. And so we find ourselves sinking into the ocean because we're saying, Lord, look at how horrible my situation is. Why did that person talk about me? Why was that email sent? Why is that brother and that sister who should be loving me in the church, why are they talking about me? But my question to you is, why are you looking at them when your eyes should be on Jesus? Amen. The moment you take your eyes off of the Lord is the moment you start sinking in that water. You keep your eyes on Jesus and God will help you to walk on water. But don't worry about walking on water. You just worry about keeping your focus on Jesus. And today, I'm here to remind us of an important truth that I am afraid that we as God's children have forgotten. Because you may feel like you've been maimed. You may feel that your arms and your hands have been cut. You may feel that you have been paralyzed. You may feel that you are near death, that you have no more breath to make it to the next day. And in the last days, when you are persecuted and you feel like you are all alone, you need to be reminded that you are very special to God, that God has gifted you with a unique power that no one can take away. And we take it so granted that we just say, let's just pray, without realizing what exactly is happening when you get on your knees and you pray. And so I'm here to remind you that there is a truth about you, and that you were given a very unique, special power. It's a power that Adam and Eve and all of the patriarchs up to Noah knew. After the flood, Noah's children, all the way through Abraham, knew, but somehow through time we have forgotten the unique power, the unique gift that God has given you. If you have been contemplating baptism, I need you right now at this moment to pray to the Lord, because this is your moment. Yes. It doesn't matter when or where we baptize, we're baptizing today. This could be your day. Yes. Now I know right now, I'm looking out in the crowd, I know there's a certain individual here that has been contemplating baptism. You have been studying God's word. Today is your day. Now, for the rest of us who have already committed our lives through baptism and we are walking a life of sanctification, what is our response to the death of Jesus? Our response should be building a relationship with God. And how do you build a relationship with anybody? You have to commune with them and speak with them and get to know who they are. And let me tell you something. If you haven't cracked open your Bible lately, you need to start doing that. This is how you get to know who God is. And if you haven't communicated with him yet through prayer, you just have to think it. I know a lot of times we like to do this. We like to get on our knees and say, Lord, and we think that that's the only acceptable way. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that all you have to do is think the prayer. Arms wide open, eyes to heaven. You can do it in your heart. You can kneel, you can sit, you can lay down. You see, it is not the position that matters. It's the fact that you're actually talking. I've even heard that if you don't fold your hands and close your eyes, you're not praying correctly. What if you don't have hands? What if you're blind? Does it matter? You see the power that you have? It doesn't matter what position, it doesn't matter where you are, you just have to start communing. That is the first truth. Now there is another truth. When you ask, you will receive. So I'm going to ask right now for the Holy Spirit. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we ask now that you open our hearts and minds. Though the time be moving quickly, we pray that it will slow, that we might be able to hear your voice. We pray for this in Jesus' name, amen. Let me start by this. Philippians tells us that humans have an ability to transmit a certain kind of energy. Now, you might be wondering, why, Pastor Anderson, do you bring this text up in the context of prayer? Philippians tells us that energy is God's energy, an energy deep within you, God himself willing and working at what will give him the most pleasure. Did you know that scientists have shown that we, our brains, are actually chemical, electromagnetic batteries? That within our brain, the very thought that I'm making right now, the ability for me to see and talk, the ability for you to hear, the ability for me to move and go to stage left, it's all of the millions of synaptic triggers in my brain is causing an electric signal. And scientists have discovered, this is stuff that the antediluvians knew, that as you dig deeper into the electrical power of your brain, that within the molecules and the atoms, that there are millions of triggers of electricity moving back and forth. Just in a moment of thought, your mind is sending out radio signals. When in your mind you pray to the Lord and you say, Our Father who art in heaven, that very thought process already traveled across the universe through an electrical signal and made it right to the throne room of God. This is not one of these fairy tales. It is not something that we do as an ordinance or a sacrament or something we do in ceremony. This is an actual physical thing that happens. And at the very core of our cells, of our brains, this is an actual electron microscopic view of one of the neurons in a brain. And I'm going to ask my audio-visual people to turn down the lights for a second. Go ahead and turn them all the way down. Notice when they took the electron picture, in the core of it was light. Now, I'm going to illustrate something for you. I'm going to prove to you that you have been given a gift. I have here a basic light. Go ahead and turn the lights back on, everyone. Guys in the back. LED, 7-watt light bulb. Now, what I did is I put something in here. I put two transistors. Those of you who are scientists know that a transistor is meant to amplify a signal. And what I did is I stuck a diode in there so it sends it in one direction. Now, this is a regular, nothing to this, no batteries, it's just a regular thing with transistors. Turn off the lights. I'm going to prove to you from Scripture that God in Philippians says that you have energy to send the power of prayer. I'm going to hold this light bulb and look what I'm able to do. I'm able to light this light bulb by sending the electrical signals from my mind through my body into this light bulb with no power at all. Just amplifying our signal of our mind through a transistor, I'm able to make this light bulb shine. Did you know that you have actual power to send messages to the Lord? And how many times do we pray? And we say, Lord, why didn't you hear me? When you prayed, you already sent the signal. Trust and have faith that God heard you. Go ahead and turn on the lights. So I'm going to put that there. I'm going to come back to that in just a minute. How many of you actually believe that you have the ability of sending messages to God and God can answer your prayer? Let me see your hands. I'm going to call up a member here in this church. I got to know him really well because he's a man of prayer. And I want you to give me and give him just a minute of time. Do you think you can give me about 5 to 10 minutes? I want you to hear a testimony because he sent a message of prayer. God heard it, and he answered it. This is the same God that you pray to. It is in the name of the same Jesus that you believe in. Brother Sherman, come on up here. Abraham, tell the congregation how God answers prayer.
There was some rumors and some gossip that was going on about me. And those rumors and that gossip started to have a negative impact on my family. And it started having a negative impact on my relationship with my wife and my relationship with my son. And it made me feel like, well, maybe my family doesn't need me. Maybe there is something wrong with me, and maybe my family would be better off without me. So I'm just going to walk away from my family. Well, it's a good thing that God can hear our thoughts. And right when I said that, God said to me, don't walk away from your family, fight for your family. And I said, God, how do I do that? And he said, pray. Amen. So I began praying. But because my relationship and my son's relationship was where the biggest wedge was, I made my son the subject of my prayers. And I went to my knees daily and I started crying out to God. And I said, God, fix this, please. Work it out. About 2 weeks later, I went to the gym with my son. And while I was running on the treadmill, all of a sudden, he falls down. He was working out behind me. He falls down on his knees and he starts praying. And when he did that, I knew that the Holy Spirit had touched him. I knew at that time he was having an experience with the Holy Spirit. After we got done working out at the gym, I said to Abraham, would you like to go to the jacuzzi? And he said, yes. So we went to the jacuzzi. While I was sitting in the jacuzzi, the Holy Spirit says to me, not speaking in a loud voice, just speaking to me through my conscience. He says, start singing Jesus Loves Me. Now here I am, 30-something years old, with my son in the jacuzzi, and I start singing, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. And while I'm singing, Abraham begins to praise God's name.
Amen.
And we could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit there very strong. Mercy. I was facing south. Abraham was facing north in the jacuzzi. While Abraham starts praising God's name, I see a light flash across the sky.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen.
And I said, what was that? I'm trying to make sense of my mind of how this pillar of light just shot across the sky. And you know how sometimes they have those lights to let you know where an event is? Well, it wasn't shooting up. It was shooting straight from the east, straight to the west. So I could not make logical sense of where this light came from. So while I'm sitting there wondering where that light came from, Abraham is still praising the name of God. And another light shoots across.
Amen.
And I said, Abraham, did you see that? So he turns around and he looks. While Abraham is looking, a third light shoots across the sky. I said, Abraham, did you see that? He said, no, I didn't see it. So I sat down, discouraged. I said, see, God? I said, this is why people think I'm strange. This is why people think I'm weird. Because I see things that they don't see, and I have experiences that they don't have. But what was interesting is while I was sitting down feeling discouraged, Abraham was still standing up and looking. And I want Abraham to come and say what he was saying to God at that time that I was feeling discouraged and sat down.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath.
Good morning.
I'm Abraham. And I kind of wanted to start a little bit earlier. And that night that my dad had asked me to go to the gym, I really didn't want to go. And some things I've noticed is that when God wants you to do something, it's normally the thing that you don't want to do. So by God's grace, anyways, I said, okay, yeah, I'll go. And normally when I'm in the gym with my dad, he's praising and listening to church music. So I'm always looking around like, is there anybody in here? Like I didn't want to be in there. But that night, I felt like the Holy Spirit was really talking to me and really touching my heart. And I just felt something, and I just got on my knees. And I just started praying. Oh, okay. And I just felt like a connection with God. And then my dad had asked me if I wanted to go to the jacuzzi, and I said, yeah, sure. And he started singing Jesus Loves Me, and I just felt the presence of the Holy Spirit, and it was
Amen.
Something that, like, it was just a joy. I was just happy to talk about God. And like my dad said, he saw lights in the sky. And at first in my head, the first thing that came to my mind was when Elijah's servant couldn't see the army of God that was surrounding them. So I just started praying and I said, well, I want to see those lights too, Jesus. Like, please open my eyes too. And I just kept looking, and then when we were just looking all around in the sky, and then I finally saw like a pillar of light, and it was like a pure white light that just flashed, and it was like in a beautiful thing. And just experiencing that showed me how God isn't just an idea, or he isn't just some other thing. Like, he's an all-powerful Father that we have in heaven that's ready and waiting to answer our prayers. And normally when we pray, it's just we're told to whenever something happens, but God is ready and waiting to answer our prayers, and he wants us to pray to him. And when he answered my prayer, it just showed me and solidified how God is real, and how loving he is, and how willing he is to show us his power.
Amen. Okay, you guys stay here. I need you staying up here. I'm going to read something to you. 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence that we have in God. You want confidence in God?
Yes.
Okay, listen to what that is. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Here you just heard a testimony of answered prayer. Do you believe in answered prayer?
Yes.
Because this family is now together. They just testified, and I don't know what you believe about lights in the skies, but all I know is they're together.
Amen.
God answered prayer. Turn off these lights again, guys. All right, take a look over there in that wall over there. Tell me if you see this. You see that light?
Yeah.
Did you see the beam go? And yet you know that from my hand to that green, something between me and that green is happening. Do you see what's happening between me and that green? No. And yet you know it's very real, don't you? Just like your prayer. You don't know what happens to your prayer. You don't see it. You can't touch it. You can't feel it, smell it. And yet, look it, I still see a green dot over there. What does God have to say about that? Let's keep these lights off for a second. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Did you know that we have the Holy Spirit that transmits our prayers over to the Heavenly Father? Thoughts in your mind can move beyond the speed of light. How fast did it take for my hand to transmit that green button? It was so fast, you can't even put barely a number on the speed of light. And yet, scientists have shown through formulas that thought in your mind is moving faster than the speed of light, based on the formula of speed equals distance divided by time. It's all based on spatial positions between two fixed points. The problem with prayer is that there is no fixed point except your mind and God's throne room. So prayer occurs in another realm outside time, space, and matter.
Amen.
So even Albert Einstein says that in the theories of relativity, when we can gather our mind and focus around matter, that we can put a speed on light. And he said, though, that the concept of prayer is outside of that because prayer is not dependent on space, on a distance, on matter, because it's going from your mind into the heavenly throne room. Now, let me illustrate again. I'm going to throw something across the sky onto that wall. My prayers already reached heaven. You know how long it took me? If I took this light and I shined it into heaven, it would take 8 minutes to get to the sun from the earth. Wow. In one day, that same beam of light will reach the outer ends of our universe in one day. And my thought goes faster than the speed of light. Now, the Bible also tells us that, and I'm going to move quickly here. So we've already talked about prayer moving beyond our senses. So prayer is what we call, scientists are now calling, a sixth sense. Here is an image of the kind of energy that your brain is outputting when you pray. This is an actual picture of electrical signals that are being sent in your prayers. And this is what's being sent into heaven. These little beams of prayer energy going to the Lord. That means don't take your prayers for granted. Don't underestimate the power of your prayer. Did you know that prayer, let me see here. Where am I at here? Let me see if I can get back to this picture. I want to show you something. This is an image of how fast light is moving through the universe. I want you to imagine when you pray tonight or for your food or with your family, your thoughts are moving quickly through space, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and it's making it directly to the throne room of God. You see, I want to tell you something. Your prayer and your faith and your spiritual life is more than just something that you can't wrap your arms around. It's actually very real. And so it's time to stop playing church here. It's time to stop looking at people.
Amen.
It's time to start feeling bad for yourself. It's time to start praying and keeping your eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
Because your prayer life and your spiritual life is not just something that's based on something you can't feel and touch and cannot be measured. Scientists are beginning to be able to measure the energy that you can do in prayer. Prayer is very powerful. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Do you believe it?